We completed yesterday the Mishneh Berurah Siman Kuf Nun Vav, which told us lots of interesting halachas with regards to general life of a Yid. We counted over 10 additional halachas, which are not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch at all. We did, however, not quite finish the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which is on page 90, second line, which is the continuation of the halachas relevant to a person with regards to shutfas to a goy. So let us finish off the Shulchan Aruch on page 90, then we're going to move on to Siman Kuf Nun Zayin and Kuf Nun Ches. Okay, so we had on the second line on Siman Kuf Nun Vav, second line of page 90, it says the following. So he said that a person should be careful not to do a wrong shvua. And continuing from that, on that very theme, he says, "Veizom lishtativ makutim." Kutim over here, very obviously, kusima is referring to goyim. So do not make veizoya. Be careful, lishtativ makutim. Don't make a shutfas. Don't make a proper partnership with goyim. Don't be a partner with a goy. Why not? Shema, perhaps yischayev lo shvua. Perhaps you're going to end up doing a shvua. You're going to say a shvua. If you're going to have a partnership, it's likely that you're going to get into some sort of conflict with your partner eventually, after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years. I know that there's one very famous partnership of two elderly gentlemen in Stamford Hill. They've been partners for, I think, over 50 years. They were partners, beautiful partners, really, without ever any conflict. But that's quite rare. Normally, after a bit of time, Rabbi Yossel is that in the way? He has his moments. Yeah, he has his moments.
Why would it be different than the Jew?
Oh, so the problem over here, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that if you're going to end up with a goy, you're probably going to end up doing a shvur. You're going to end up doing a shvur. That with the Yid is not likely to happen. So he says as follows. Ramah continues and he says as follows. V'yesh mekilin b'asiya shutfas, and some are mekil, and then you are allowed to make a shutfas with a goy, im akusim, bizman hazeh nowadays, mishom she'ein akusim, bizman hazeh, nishpoim b'avoid zelilim. He says, because even if it's going to end up, even if it's going to end up having a shvua, but if he's going to do a shvua, what's going to happen is, v'afal gav demaskirin avoid zora, they may be mentioning their Christian avoid zora, mikol mokim kavonosom lo'is shemayim v'oretz. Ultimately, we mentioned that in Christian belief, they also believe in Hashem. We explained that what the goyim believe in is the concept of shutfus. It's the concept of shutfus, that for us, obviously, and anything beyond that is considered avodah zarah. However, with regards to a goy, if he believes in Hashem, but he also believes in additional shutfus, that's considered shutfus, it's not considered, for a goy, it's not considered avodah zarah. Because he does believe in Hashem, he just doesn't believe that Eino Milvadoi. So therefore, that's not considered avodah zarah as far as a goy is concerned. So therefore, what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, what the Ramah is saying as follows. A goy, to have a shutfas with a goy, said the Shulchan Aruch, is wrong. You can't have a shutfas with a goy, because what's going to happen is, he's going to end up doing a shvua, and you're going to end up, making shvuas, which is wrong. The Ramah says, actually, there's room for leniency. Because even if he does end up doing a shvur, it's not good for, as far as you are concerned, it's considered of course it would be an issa, because they believe in shittuf, and shittuf for us is a problem. However, with regards to the goy, as far as the goy is concerned, it's not considered avodah zarah. Since it's not considered avodah zarah, it's no problem. There is no problem. That's what the Ramah paskens. So we've got a machloikas of the as to whether shittuf. I'm not sure it's a machloikas, but certainly the Ramah holds that it's a very important concept that we're learning of. It's very relevant now you're there. The underlying concept is that for what the goy does, what the goy's belief system is, the goyish belief system, the Christian belief system, for us it's avodah zarah. If we do what the goy, what the Christians do, for us it's considered avodah zarah, and probably it's part of gimel averus, and it's a criminal avera. However, what the goyim do, as far as they're concerned, they're not considered in our eyes over the avodah zarah. The Christians, they're not considered over the avodah zarah because they believe in Hashem. Just, well, they believe in, yeah.
And also, if there was a goy and Jews are part of that, and they had a machlekes, and they went to court, could the Jew, he couldn't go to the Beth Din, the Jew could take him to the Beth Din, could he? And yes, could the goy agree to go to the Jewish court?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Because then, what happens if the Jew was going to take him to court or vice versa?
I'm not. Machlekes, yeah, that's a problem. Yeah.
So, if the Jew did it, he probably would have to go to an ordinary court.
I don't know the answer. I don't know what's best. I don't know, because you can't go.
Jews having an argument, you go,
of course, you have to go. Absolutely, yeah.
You get their permission if you have to go to the court higher.
Yeah.
But if it was a Jew and a non-Jew in a partnership.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the best step would be.
Could he get into a Beth Din?
Yeah, he could in theory, but it's not ideal either. So, no. Yeah, so I'm not sure what the best step would be. Not sure. It would be a problem. Finally, the Ramah says, Veloses Himohem, Beloshut first, just to have business deals and business engagements with Goyim. With below should, first, if it's not a genuine partnership, lekule al-mashori, and that's perfectly okay, below yom chageim, unless it's on their festivals. If it's on their chogas, on their festivals, you shouldn't engage in business in their, during their chogas, during their festivals. But otherwise, of course, there's no problem in having business deals with goyim. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Simkuf Nun Zayin. Tine zman kviya suda, we're now talking about the ideal time to eat. Kshiyagia shor revis. When should you eat? Kshigir shor revis, yikba sudosa. What's shor revis? What's shor revis? Absolutely. Shazman, yes, that's right. So again, from the morning until the evening, as whether it's alois or nets, whether it's shkir or nacht, we're going to leave this out. But certainly from the morning till the evening, you have 12. You make that into 12 equal parts, and each of them is considered one halachic hour. If you go four of them from sun from the morning, 4 hours after that, that's considered shor revis. When is that? When would that, what time of day would that be? Nowadays, shor revis. Is it 10-ish? Correct. Correct. You can't fall, yeah. So shor revis, that time, yikba sudos, that's when you should eat. Shor revis, you should eat shor revis. So that's quite late in the morning. Shor revis is quite late in the morning. It's quite late. Ve'imu talmid chocham, ve'oisik b'limudo. If it's a talmid chocham, ve'oisik b'limudo, and he's busy learning, yamtin at shor shishis, and he can wait until shor shishis, which is midday. It's chatzos. So you're gonna eat. Right, so the truth is it the first thing that he's eating?
This is not Paz.
Well, Paz Shachis, we learned he has earlier. He's an Atta Bel Pachis before that. Yeah, right. So that's
lunch.
It's, well, you can call it probably, yeah. Well, yeah. But because they had, obviously, the eating habits were very different. So they had a tiny bit of food, a little bit of Paz Shachis, which we mentioned earlier, and then afterwards they're going to have the Yik Paz Sudosi, the Sa'uda, which is going to be later on. And that's at the fourth hour, the sixth halachic hour. Below Yaache Yosa, don't have it later. Da'avi Kizurik Evan Lechemes Him Lo Tam Midah Betzafre. Now, if you had something in the morning, this won't apply. But if you didn't have anything earlier, then if you eat too late, it's Da'avi Kizurik Evan Lechemes. It's as if you throw a stone in a barrel. Because you are what would be the equivalent? You're like, don't eat too late. Don't eat too late. If you eat too late, if you don't eat after the fourth, after the sixth hour, as if you were throwing a stone in a barrel, it's not good for your digestive system. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if cotton gimel, at shor shishis, the beginning of the sixth hour. It's not mamash chatzos, it's actually an hour before chatzos. V'lo yach ha'yoyse al kolponim misoyv shor shishis. Certainly don't delay it after the end of the halachic hour. V'hai shor revis v'shor shishis, zoy tzoloy mazman yoyse. And as we explained, it's halachic hours. From early morning until evening, you divide that into 12, and that's the fourth or the sixth hour. Now, I just want to point out, there's a wide machloek is when you actually start counting. Is it by nets or by alois? And when you stop counting them, which is by shkia zachama or nacht, it will make quite a difference. It will make quite a difference, but he's not going into that now. Okay, even the chemas. To go in chemas yain, the comparison is like a barrel of wine shechosa, which is like validei zeh nifgam. If you're throwing stone into a barrel of wine, you're gonna ruin it. The wine is gonna, you're gonna ruin it. For zoyrig lezoycha even sheismale v'zeloy ma'ale v'lozoyrid v'loy moyrid. If you're throwing stones into a barrel, that's not gonna help the wine at all. On the contrary. You don't have more wine from that. You should have filled it with wine. So don't throw stones in a barrel of wine, and similarly don't eat anything after the sixth hour or after the fourth hour. You should eat prior to that. If you eat later than that, you're not going to add any strength. You're not going to get better off by eating too late. Does that make sense? If you eat too late, you're going to be the whole day, you're not going to be really... Interesting question. It would appear that it doesn't make a difference. It's very good, however. Well, it's a good kasha actually. So it seems like it doesn't make so much of a difference. No.
It's assuming
that
you get up no earlier than the
sleeping time, right? It's assuming that you get up earlier. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Of course. A person's life was very much with the light. There was obviously no lights on the streets, so when it went dark, people had not much choice than to go into bed. You could probably learn for another half an hour and do a little bit of, but once it gets dark, there wasn't much option. You wake up when it's light and you go to sleep when it's dark, and that's the day. So people definitely woke up with vasikin, certainly so. Toiv she'osim achilosu b'yom kalum b'layla. It is better to eat by, that's an interesting, I wasn't sure because I don't know if that's what country, I don't know. Toiv she'osim achilosu b'yom kalum b'layla. The food eaten by day should be lighter than by night. Is that contrary to proper belief or in line with proper belief?
It's contrary to current dietary.
Right. Contemporary.
You should eat less than the night before you get to bed.
Before you should eat less, right. Yeah. So that's not what he says. He said you should eat by night, could be heavier. That's not what we generally believe in. We generally, as you said, contemporary dietary. Right. Yeah. The Yoichal based on in Switzerland, the saying is that you eat breakfast. I don't know, is that English as well? You eat breakfast like a king. You eat breakfast like a king. You eat lunch like a commoner. Is that the word? And you eat supper like a pauper. Yeah, that's a Swiss saying. I don't know if that's a. Yeah, okay, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't paskin like that Swiss saying. You should eat twice a day. If you're a weak person, you should eat twice a day. Don't eat one big meal a day. If you're not a healthy person, you should have two meals a day. But certainly not three. It's totally, it doesn't even occur to me should we eat three times a day. If you are not healthy, if you're not particularly strong, so spread it into two meals a day. That's the. But if otherwise, it's fine to have one a day. But three doesn't even occur to him. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's another few. Yeah. Now you should eat the as it says. You should eat fleishig. You should eat meaty by night. And you should eat bread in the morning. That's probably in line with the pashachis that we learned, that you should have a bit of bread in the morning. So this is an interesting Zoya Kodesh. Rabbi Isai, I'm not quite sure what to do about this. It's a Zoya Kodesh. He says, don't cook one day to the next, and don't save anything from yesterday to today. Now, what about you wives? Don't cook for 2 days, don't cook in advance, and don't use yesterday's. That's what the Zohar says. And the reason is, a fascinating reason. The reason is, every day, you should ask Hashem for food. He said, every day you should daven to Hashem for food. And if you've got yesterday's leftovers, you're not going to daven with such kavanah. Similarly, if you've got you've got for tomorrow, you've got it ready. So you know what's going to be for supper. I've got yesterday's schnitzel. So you know you're not going to be, how much are you going to daven ready? Okay, now, leaving the housewives alone for a minute, how realistic is this? And is this done at all or not? You can't have, you don't need the freezer anymore. Yeah, according to that, you can't really save. Yeah, if you've got a loaf of bread, you don't need. Yeah, you don't need the freezer. You don't need the ladder. That's right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Right, you're right. So if you're out in the fields and you're taking potatoes from the field, then it makes a difference. Don't use yesterday's and don't take for tomorrow as well. Don't pick an apple for tomorrow as well. Pick for today, but nowadays that everything is commercialized and is okay, I've seen the poskim discussing this Mishnah Berurah, how can it be done nowadays? And it's not so poshut, because really the underlying reason is something which is a very strong argument that you should daven every day for your food. They do say, however, what I saw a svarah in the poskim. What do you tell about it?
You daven anyway.
Yeah.
It might taste good.
So it's true. So the Maaseh, I saw the poskim say that if it's a normal amount of food, the poskim are mekel. They say you can't expect to cook everywhere. Imagine the big family. Sometimes you want to put things aside, and sometimes you want to use leftover. Sometimes it's just the way we live. So the poskim say, the nusach that I saw in the poskim is that if you can, if it's a normal amount that you are cooking and you are baking, it's a normal amount, it's okay to save some and to put it in the freezer, to keep it in the larder, to save it aside. If it's, however, something you're purposely doing in advance, then that's what the Zohar is referring to. It's not an issa. It's just a hanoga toiva. It's not issa. It's not saying that it's also to do in advance. It doesn't say that. It's a hanoga toiva. It's proper. It's right. So it just says that that hanoga toiva is, if it's a natural, the normal kind of amount, that's okay. But if you're just cooking, you have one cooking week, and you're cooking for the whole next month, that's what the Zohar Kodesh is referring to. Because it's not a normal amount of cooking up if you're doing above and beyond what's normally done in a household. Yeah. Yeah, so I suppose for Yom Tov, Rabbi, so what do you think about Yom Tov? You cook in advance for Yom Tov. Is that against the Zohar Kodesh?
For Shabbos as well.
For Shabbos? Yeah. So there's no doubt about it that this is fine. Because you're doing this as a Tzorich Mitzvah, there's no way you can't start cooking on Shabbos. Even on Yom Tov, although you're allowed to, but of course it enhances Yom Tov if you don't start cooking on Yom Tov. So therefore there's no shail about it, the Zohar wouldn't be referring to that. Nice thought. I didn't think of that. Yeah. It's an interesting thought. Yeah. Interesting thought. Okay. But I think at the very least what we can take out from this is that a person should know that ideally, at least by davening, the underlying insight, of course, is by davening you should think about, every day, you don't take it for granted, don't take it for self-understood, and whilst the freezer may be full, maybe the larder is full, and if you've got cupboards full of food, don't take it for granted, and that's what Azar really, really means, and however much it's practical, one should do as well, if possible at all. Finally, the last few words of Mishnah Berurah, it's very important as well, is Toiv Sheifane Koidim Sudosoi, a person should try to be mefane, to excuse himself before eating. Doesn't try to be mefane himself before eating, as Mishnah Berurah says over here. Right, having discussed in great detail the Hilchas Tefillah, followed by Beis HaKnesses, and then we had a couple of simonim with regards to Masa Matan and working. We've had breakfast now as well. We have davened. We have learned. We've had breakfast, and now we need to discuss the halachas of the leading towards the real Suda, which is din in etilas yadayim, how you wash for hamotzi. Mamash now having a big sium, as it were, big finish, a big topic. We're now starting a whole big topic in its own, which is din in etilas yadayim le'suda, washing hands. It's amazing to learn it. It's just amazing to learn because we do it so often. And there's a lot of mistakes that can potentially happen. How you wash hands. Obviously, the halachas are very different than washing for negel vasa. Obviously, the halachas are very different than washing for after being excused. These are the halachas of Netilas Yadayim, the Seudah, which are very, very relevant. We do it so often. We do it every day. And yet, there is a lot of detailed halachas, and some of them are not so well known. What we're learning in this, many other halachas as well, which is going a little bit in Hilchas Tumantara as well. And it will be discussing also about the keli, which keli should use, how the water should be, what happens if you haven't got a keli. What about a plastic keli and plastic cups? Well, this will be discussed in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. Adina Tila Shadam Nisudasif, Alef Kshov Olechol Pas. When you're about to eat bread, Shemavachin Olav Amotzi, that you're going to make a brach of Amotzi, Yitol Yodov, you should wash your hands. When you're going to eat bread, they're going to say Amotzi on, you should wash your hands. Yitol Yodov, wash your hands. Afilo Eino Yodea, Lehm Shum Tome. Even if you don't know that your hands are necessarily tome, you don't think your hands are particularly tome, nevertheless, you wash your hands. Vivoich an Netilas Yadayim, you're going to make a brach of Netilas Yadayim. Avol, lepas, shein mevochin al amotzi, but if you're eating any kind of bread, or what we call nowadays, any mezonos, that you don't make amotzi on it, could go in lachmonius, perish, sturte, belaz, if it's any kind of mezonos, biscuits, crackers, whatever it is that you make mezonos on, tacos, thin kind of equivalent of crackers, or pasabo bekisnin, or what we call mezonos, perish pasta suim in tzukor v'shkedim ve'goizin, eino kever asud aleim, you're not going to be fixing a meal on that, ein tzorech l'tilas yadayim, you don't need tilas yadayim, you need to wash. Obviously much more to discuss, but at this point, before even going to the underlying takona, which is in tzivkot na'aleph, I want to ask you an interesting question. What happens if a person washed his hands, and afterwards he changed his mind? He saw this sandwich and he said, actually, tuna today, no, not for me. And now, I've changed my mind. And there's no other option. You look at the bread, this is stale. This is, I just can't. And you change your mind. So what you've done is you've washed your hands according to the halachas that we're going to learn. You wash them. One second. Yes, you made the bracha until that's your time. And now by the time that it's the kind of time, yeah, you know the time, yeah? So then you suddenly see the bread and you change your mind. You say, you don't want it. Now, what are you meant to do at this point? What is that? What can you do? What is anything you can do at this point? You should just like close your eyes and just bite and then you're going to see what happens next. Bochra Batole. So you're saying straight out, Bochra Batole. Yes, everybody agree to that. Okay, now there is a fascinating, what? You made the bracha of Anantila Sudan. I had in mind, I was looking forward to the Bochra Tola. Okay, says the Shaar Tshuva, he brings a very, very interesting ritva, which is quoted in Shaar Tshuva on the side by the star. I'm quoting literally the words of Shaar Tshuva. If you made Al Netilas Yadayim, v'nimlach, and you change your mind, and actually, I don't want to eat this. I changed my mind. Loi have a bochel vatole, it's not a bochel vatole, ein shom. So you're learning of it that here this is an absolute exception to the rule. It's an absolute exception to the rule. That here, says Shaar Tshuva, that if you change your mind, it's not bochel vatole. If you see and you change your mind, you can actually start talking and that's it. And it's not considered bochel vatole. It's not considered bochel vatole. Mishnah Berurah does not quote the Shaar Tshuva, but Chaznish apparently passed like this Shaar Tshuva. And other poskim as well bring it. The reason behind it, the rationale is that it's not because of mitzvahs. It's you've made lemaisa. What you've done is you've cleansed your hands from tumah, and it's takana. It's takana. You make a bracha, and therefore you've fulfilled it. As to whether you're actually going to lead towards amotzi or not, that's another separate issue, separate topic, which may be associated, is likely to be associated. But according to this ritva, it's not associated, and you've made the bracha. You've made him. If you wouldn't have washed your hands, of course it's a bracha levatole. But now you've washed your hands halachically, and they are now reached that level of tahara. So now I've made my hands clean. I made a bracha. It's fine. I don't have. If I change my mind, it's fine. There's obviously a whole big discussion amongst the achronim. what exactly the understanding of that? No, you certainly can't do lechatchila. It's all about bedieved. Question is, do you have to bite into that soggy tuna sandwich, or you don't have to go for it? According to the Ritva, you don't have to bite into this. You don't have to. That's what the Ritva says.
Is the Rabbanon?
No, so it's the Rabbanon. And that's an interesting point. Yes, it has to do with it. It's the Rabbanon, therefore it's fine.
Is it the Rabbanon?
Yeah, probably not. You're right. Yeah. It has got to do intrinsically with that takana. The Ritva paskens, if you make alentila sudaim and you wash your hands halachically in the correct manner and you made a bracha, you change your mind, you can talk. Again, this is a massive bedieved, and having said that, not everybody paskens like that Ritva, but Chaznish paskens like Ritva. Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it down, which I don't know what that shows us, but that's certainly what the Shai Tshuva brings over here. No, no. Yeah, probably the Ritva will. To some extent, probably yes. Yeah, I mean, according to Ritva, you don't have to. But according to the, you don't. It's probably better, I suppose. It's together. Yeah, I suppose you and me, if that ever happens, I suppose. Yeah.
As long as it's a stale bread that you would say a motzi on anyway. Yeah. Not one that's so
correct. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah, absolutely correct. Spot on. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to the halachas. Very interesting halachas. Good. Okay, so just to recap what we discussed today. We learned about the concept of shutfas, the Christian belief. We learned that for them it's not considered avodah zarah, for us it is. We learned about the controversy about doing shutfas with a goy. We learned that it's not ideal because it may end up doing on shvuas. However, to do any general non-partnership, just engagement with goyish business engagement is perfectly acceptable. We learned that the ideal time to eat the suda is either in the fourth hour or the sixth hour. If you have eaten something beforehand, you can delay it. If you haven't eaten it, then you have to make sure either fourth or sixth hour, no later than the sixth halachic hours. If it's after that, you're not gaining any strength by eating later than that. We then started speaking about din netilas yadayim l'suda. We learned that if you need an hamotzi, then you need an netilas yadayim. And we brought down this interesting shal tshuva, that if you made a bracha and you change your mind, you do not need to. It's not a bracha levatolem. Okay, we'll actually enter the fascinating halachas of din netilas yadayim tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem.